Fáilte gaitinne go dtí an díal de bit de mis a Brendan ó Davne an seo a Highland Radio. Fáilte, welcome everyone to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio. We're back via the podcast. Thanks Donna Marie for the news and of course the excellent Power Hour Plus with Ivan Boren. And Joe Dex is here as ever producing, looking after me. Fair play to you. Yosef. That's what I'll call you this evening, Yosef. I'm in that kind of form. How could you not be in good form? Donegal finally, you know, put away this ghost of Mayo dominating this, came through a very tricky game, miles and miles away from home. There seemed to be more talk about Jim McGuinness. And right he was, to question the decision to play it down there. It's amazing how much the comment of someone like Jim can grow legs after that game. To me, you know, it was minor detail in terms of he'd won the match. It was funny how the nation's media kind of closed in on that, because, listen, folks, it was minor detail to a brilliant Donegal performance. A lot of questions asked, but we came through again. And I just want to shout out to a few people. Johnny Kern I met down there yesterday, a man with a serious GA pedigree. He's been at more All-Ireland football finals and hurling finals. He has some history behind him. Johnny, listening in as ever. Peter Patton, I have to give him a shout out, of course. A man we owe a lot to. Sean's dad, a huge Bunnagee man. We have him over to the GA now. And listen, he'll always be a proud Bunnagee man. But fair play to Peter. I was catching up with him earlier today. And he is saying he'll be listening in tonight. And listen, we hope to entertain you, Peter. And coming up on the show, I'll be joined shortly by former County star All-Ireland winner Ryan Bradley. Chief sports writer with the Sun, Killybegs, native himself, Jason Byrne will also be here, and we'll talk, of course, about Donegal Mayo and the big talking points from the weekend. We'll build up to Louth as well. I'm going to speak with the Louth GA correspondent, Kevin Riley, as well, who's going to be joining us just to get the vibe in Louth. You know, a lot of people talking about a friend from Galway yesterday, JP, and he was saying the last thing Galway wanted us to be coming up to Fortress Ballybuffet, even though it was breached quite recently. I think that was a one-off. We'll tighten things up again. But it'll be interesting to see, from a Louth perspective, what they made of the draw. After that, I'll catch up with ladies boss James Daly after they had a tough opening day defeat to Galway, All-Ireland finalists last year, of course, Galway going for an All-Ireland. So that was a tough opening day, but now away to Tipperary, who we've beaten already. So I'm going to catch up with James later in the show. But first, as I say, I have two men on the line. I've one that can see one of them anyway. It's the one and only James. Are you there, Byrne? The man himself.
Can you hear me, Brendan?
What's a crack, kid? Are you all right?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Jason, listen, who else have we got on there? Have we Ryan? Ryan's probably...
Yeah.
Are you there,
yeah,
Ryan?
Brendan.
Good man yourself, lads. I can never always just see you direct, so listen, good to hear you, Ryan. You never would have been that quiet.
I was always very shy, Brendan.
definitely so. Jason, the hide. All this furore about the hide. What are you making of this? Bit of background noise to you know what was an epic game, I thought, in the Brendan victory from Donegal.
Yeah, absolutely, Brendan. Just in terms of the venue, like it was a point that Jim kind of very acutely made himself. I think he just wanted the powers to be to hear what he had to say about it, but like it probably did create a bit of a siege mentality within the camp coming down, which is never any harm either, as you know. But it was a brilliant performance. You know, Michael Murphy, what do we say about this man? Like I can't believe how good he's actually been after being 2 years away. Like we knew he was going to be good, but did we really know he was going to be this good? Like he's in popular of the year form, and you know he made a mistake for Mayo's goal. He gave away a ball, but he was even better again after that, which kind of really sums him up, if you can sum him up at all. You know, Moore's point, like, what nerves of steel to just take on two men at the end of a game after the hitter goes and you just lash it over the bar like that. Shane O'Donnell, again, phenomenal. Absolutely incredible. Keelan McCaughan, fantastic as well. It was those kind of performances that were most pleasing for me. And you mentioned the patterns there. Great that Sean came through the full game as well. He landed awkwardly after catching a ball in the first half and he seemed to kind of limp a wee bit when he came back down. But thankfully he was able to continue and get away some rocket kickouts in that second half. No more so than the one for Kieran to race through and score that point. But
long live the memory.
Some they missed as well, Brendan.
I think when we were on top there, you know, we probably didn't punish in the level that we did, or level that we should have, you know, and level we have been, is something we've been very, very, very efficient, I suppose, in front of goals. And Ryan, just on the travel there, you know, I suppose if you look at Mayo's season, they've been to Carrick and Shannon, been to Omagh, they've had two games at home. We've had three trips to Clonus, one to Breffni and now to the Hyde. Is, you know, do you understand, Ryan, I suppose, when you're trying to, I suppose, go through all these games so quick, recover, get ready, and then you're going, you know, as Jim was saying, travelling overnight and that, how much do you think that's adding to the drag in terms of that Donegal season, all these games and the trips to them?
That's definitely adds a bit. You know, it takes that extra day of travelling and preparation to go to them, you know, faraway games, especially from, you know, up yourself, and it's 3.5 hours here from Inishowen to the game. But luckily, I was in Galway for the weekend anyway, so it was only an hour over the road. But I know people left 3-4.5 hours travelling from Inishowen, you know, and I'd say I probably agree with Jason. Probably Jim used it as motivation. You know, it's us against everyone here. But definitely it takes a lot out, preparation, organising hotels, you know, getting food ready for the boys. It's definitely, it adds on that extra bit that they probably don't need this time of the year, especially with the schedule being so busy. But again, I'd say they used it, you know, it was fuel to the fire for them, you know, I'd say it was us against everybody.
It's we always hear it, the siege mentality, surely. And you know, lad, you look at it yesterday in terms of going down there, once the stage was set, I suppose, I know we were getting quite excited in the commentary. Here's the last 40 seconds of your Oisin.
Mayo have gone level with 15 seconds to go. It's one last 18 plays, 18.
Gotta get possession now, one last play, Oisin.
This is so crucial from Sean Patton. We are level here. The hooter is about to go. The kick goes out to the left. Up they go far. They go to the top of everybody. But Donegal have the ball. It's with Kieran Moore now. Moore getting wide. The Mayo defence. Here's a chance for Kieran Moore. Moore kicks it high. Moore kicks it over the bar.
And a boy, Moore.
Kieran Moore has just sent Mayo out of the Ireland Championship. The game is over. Donegal won it 19-18. Kieran Moore is the hero of the day.
Well, there you go.
still exciting as it was.
That's myself and Oisin there enjoying that last play. And you know what? I have an interview from Kieran Moore there if I get a chance. It's up on the site. There's words from Jim as well, and the likes of that commentary is all up there. But there's just something about Kieran Moore, just in the way he plays, you know, particularly I was saying, chatting to Brendan about it before the game, and the game opens up, his athleticism really comes to the fore, and you almost felt sorry for, there was the last Mayo attacker was on him there, he just gave up, the guy was chasing him down the left, and this is the last, you know, minute of the game, and I think it was probably about 3-4 seconds before the end of the match when Mayo hit that equaliser, which could have obviously put them through. The fact that the kick out came, and what a point for Moore to end it. So listen, phenomenal stuff for him. But just going into the game there, you know, first half we settled really well, a couple of points from Mogan, we looked very comfortable on the ball. They had a slight bit of a breeze. McCall was doing well on O'Donoghue. Keelan McColgan, which I never seen coming, picking up Nate O'Shea. You know, Murphy and McHugh were having a great battle. You know, and I really thought, like, after surviving what was a harsh card on Mogan, they'd gone in at 9-6. You know, things were looking really good for us at half time. Like, keeping Mayo to 6 points was top drawer, particularly seeing as he played 14 minutes, actually, of the half down to 14 men.
Yeah, exactly, Brendan. Mayo had the breeze as well. And, like, they created very little. Like, Donegal had 6 wides in that first half as well, and a couple of shots dropped short as well. I think it was Kieran Thompson and Oisin Gallen. So, like, they could have been further in front. And there was that massive goal chance from Owen Bann as well. I think Rory Brickenden just did enough to put him off when Owen was about to pull the trigger. So, very unlucky not to get a goal in that instance as well. And, like, there was a period of that second half, I think, where Mayo didn't score for 17 minutes. Or the first half, sorry, for 17 minutes. Like, and that's when Donegal went 6-4 in front. And Patter was off the field for a lot of that as well. So, you know, that was massive. Like, the black card was ridiculous. Like, Jim had a go with the referee in his post-match interview as well. And I think a lot of Donegal supporters would have been in agreement. He was kind of harsh in a lot of his calls Donegal's way, particularly that black card for Patter in the first half, especially so early in the game as well. You know, when he was flying at that stage, he had 2 points on the board, as you said. But, you know, some of the battles, as you mentioned, they're taking place all over the pitch were just a joy to watch as well. It kind of set up for a ding-dong second half after that, but like that battle between Murphy and Donoghue McHugh was cracker as well. And then Mayo were just so unfortunate to lose him to injury in that second half too. But it's fine margins as well, isn't it? Mayo just be kicking themselves for that first round game against Cavan. It wasn't Kieran Moore that knocked them out. That was the day they were knocked out, really. You know, it was going to be very, very hard to recover from that. And you're kind of scrambling and depending for other results. Even though they did go up and produce a whopper of a performance to beat Tyrone and Omagh, I think they were always kind of swimming against the tide after losing that game to Cavan. Like, sometimes you just don't get away with results like that in the Championship, even though three teams do go through from the group. So I think Donegal will be delighted. And just hopefully the bodies are okay now, Brendan, for this week, because if Donegal do overcome Louth, you're facing into a third game in the space of 14 days in an All-Ireland quarter-final at Croke Park. So just hopefully now the Charlie McManus isn't a busy man this week, and all the medical team and Jim's backroom staff as well.
Definitely. Yes, a lot of work to be done, but the massive thing, I suppose, as we're saying, is we are at home. Actually, I met the ref leaving, and do you know what? Whatever it is, he came over to me and was all buzz, ready for the crack, and you know, at that point you won the match. Here was me, like, I think 10 minutes before, I wanted to have a word with him, and then I was like, who cares, we'll let it fly. I kind of bottled it. Ryan, what do you think? Should I have had a word with him, or did you just get this feeling that you're trying to be impartial, but you're like, hold on, that went against us?
I thought he was very harsh on us a few times, especially the black card in the first half, and Keelan McColgan was brought down for the exact same foul 5 minutes, 6 minutes after Pater Morgan got sent off. It might have been O'Shea clipped him and brought him down. I thought that's the exact same foul. They should have got a black card. But even in the second half, when he played advantage for them and they let them shoot for goal and Patton saved it and he brought the ball back for a free, I thought, you know, you give him so you're awarding him now for missing the shot on goal. They have a chance for an easy free. I thought some calls were bad, but you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, it's not an easy job. You know,
Ryan, you know that. You see when the ball's recycled across, if the ref has the hand up, that forward often rushes the shot on goal. It's like a split second.
Yeah. So
the fact that they worked it to the left, there was a tackle, a challenge, then another pass, then a one.
There's two or three phases.
Yeah, so and Sean, you know, saves it. Yeah. And you think, brilliant, and we get the ball. Next thing, you see the front. I was like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a strange call.
But it is the referee's discretion. It is down to him, you see. And that's, again, leaving it open. But I think everybody was like, hold on a second. As you said, it's gone Pat, through the phases. It's too far. Ryan, do you think this thing with Donegal and goals and that, you know, it's just a thing, right? But rarely I've seen a game where we created so many clear-cut chances and half chances and still didn't hit the onion bag. You know, it could have been undoing of us. As it wasn't, but you certainly thought we created so many chances and we seemed to be getting, with them strike runners we had, we seemed to get right into the heart of Mayo defence. Like, you could say there was maybe 7 or 8 between full chances and half chances goals yesterday. We didn't manage to seem to register.
Oh, there definitely was. I was behind the goal for the Donegal shoot into the first half, and I thought Pater Morgan, time that was the second point, it probably was in on goal too. I thought that should have been a goal. I thought Owen Bam was very unlucky. He'd done everything right and it was just wide. I thought it was harsh now. I thought he was just very unlucky not to hit the target. If he had hit the target, he would have scored. You know, he was that close and it was very unlucky. Yeah. I think Jason was right. Your boy did put a bit of contact on him. They put him off. But I don't think we'll get away with missing that many goal chances as the games go on. I think we'll have to be a wee bit more ruthless and clinical, which you don't often say about Donegal, but hopefully it's just that was a once off yesterday, and hopefully the next game will be burying them opportunities.
And Jason, just on that, you know, having Sean Patton back in there, and listen, it's no disrespect to anybody else, but if he wasn't playing yesterday, you know, there's loads of cogs in the wheel, but I'm going to start with him because, you know, Mayo would send that squeeze up this batter, Donegal, let's make them kick high and we'll win X amount. But his ability to ping those balls, particularly those ones down the middle that he hits to Murphy, and clipping the short ones with a surety out wide. They hit one very tight one to Thompson, remember, in the second half when we were under pressure. And then, of course, one of the biggest goal chances we had was the one McBertie coming in the right. But that's because Mayo had pushed up on the kick-out. And that's the thing about Patton. He can hit this 70-yard, you know, the famous Patton boomer. We should have got that goal, should have wrapped it up, I think, or would, I think, put us in a position to win the match. But that's the difference having Patton there. If a team squeezes up, he's got a few, he can go short, he can clip a ball, Donegal can create space. And if you get too far squeezed up, boom, it goes over the top and there's a potential goal.
Yeah, exactly, Brendan. And like the thing about him is like he just seems to get it down in the tee so quick, and he doesn't even have to take this massive 10 steps backwards to line up his run to kick it. Like he just seems to be able to boom it when the ball's just sitting right in front of him. And that, you know, when he put that one through for McBurdy's chance, it was Darrell Bale, the ball fell to him. The crowd in front of us were roaring at Darrell to shoot, as per Celtic Park against Derry last April. But he lofted it through to Paddy, and I don't know how the Mayo keeper got back, lads. Colin Reap, like, he was no man's land. He totally pushed up as well. And like, I don't think a lot of the Mayo defenders had even realised that either. But Paddy just kind of took a split second to maybe compose himself, and Reap got back and managed to get a foot on it, and it came off the post. We didn't realise that that's what actually happened in real time. We thought Paddy just put the ball away. But Reap, if you watch the replay, really slowed down, and I'm sure folks on the TV would have seen it, like that he managed to get a boot to it and deflect it off the post, and that's where it went out for a 45. But like Sean, as you mentioned, Brendan, he's just so crucial to everything that Donegal do. And you know, he made a massive double save as well, like with the couple of minutes of normal time left. Jack Kearney was through and goal, and he saved that, and then there was a follow up from Paul Towie, and then it was called back for a Mayo free anyway. Like, but those were massive moments as well. You know, if that had gone into the net, we could have been looking at a defeat then, you know, and it could have been a different story. The Mayo goal was a very unfortunate one to concede, but thankfully we survived. But as Ryan said as well, you know, the fact that we didn't get a goal is a bit of a worry, and it's something that they will need to address coming into the serious business, and coming into the serious business that starts now on Sunday with Louth coming to Babafay, you know. So I'm sure they'll be working hard to address that one as well. Just very unlucky not to get one. It's kind of a nearly freak that Donegal didn't get one, given the chances that they had. But hopefully that'll all change now the next day.
Hopefully that's unluckiness gone, yeah, sure thing. Jason, Ryan, how are you assessing this Donegal team now? You know, it's very hard to kind of pick out players because people have done such serious shifts now, Ryan. You know, there's such a buy-in to the system, and you know, the energy of Finn Barody and Patter Morgan breaking McCall again, unbelievable. I mean, he's marking one of the best forwards in Ireland, and he is so good at what he does. You know, and I'm not saying we take him for granted, but just expect him now to take people out of the game, and that's a difficult thing to do with Ryan O'Donoghue. You know, we going in there, and obviously the form of Kiel McColgan coming in, it's such a, of all people, he had no shame, must be double the height of him, the way he got stuck into him. You know, we obviously mentioned Moore there, you know, Hugh McFadden, but in a serious shift, you know, the ball carrying of Shane O'Donnell was just again off the charts, and Murphy as well, Conor Donnell at moments. So, you know, what are you seeing with the balance of this team? Jason McGee come on as well. Are you thinking now Donegal, from what you're seeing, Ryan, as good as anybody's out there? In terms of what you've seen in the last couple of games?
Well, I think probably in the last few games, I don't think, maybe just the way it panned out, they were over-reliant on Michael, or maybe just the fact that Michael was just pure brilliant and he was having outstanding games. But really impressed yesterday off with Keelan McColgan and Morgan and Rorty stepping up. I thought they were outstanding. I thought Keelan McColgan was really outstanding yesterday against Aidan O'Shea. And Keir Moore at the end. I just think more players are stepping up and doing a wee bit extra in games, which is very, very positive. And I think if you get Darrell Boyle back on form and Michael Langan and Peter McGee giving that wee bit extra, it's going to, if them boys are all on form, they're going to be really hard to stop, you know. Yeah. And I do think like Sean Patton's crucial to Donegal going all the way. If Donegal don't win that game yesterday, Sean Patton's not nets for that last kick out. It just doesn't happen. Yeah. You know, the way he kicked that ball up the field, it's just...
Yeah, agree.
It's agree. Great to watch.
Agree, Ryan. And, Jason, just on the Donegal team, and again, I'm not... Listen, we're behind the lads all the way. Did you think that we got pretty tight? Now, very hot day there, let's be honest. The Mayo break in the second half looked very dangerous compared to the first half, let's say. We got very deep with our defensive shape. Like, we were right on the D. Like, we started the game on the arc. You know, and as the game went on, we got deeper and deeper. Is that a bit of a danger? Because it was as if Mayo could rotate the ball and it got to a shooter, he's almost on the D. I mean, it's a straightforward enough kick. I mean, Dawson had them couple of points. They were a bit easy defensively good. And then he missed two and dropped one short, which actually was a bit lucky on her behalf. But do you think there's a way there needs to be a shout there of get out further? Or is that just the heat of the day and it was just affecting the lads that you naturally just want to drop in and they're kind of safer zone, but you're in many ways leaving yourself open to an easier strike?
Yeah, it's a good point, Davey. Like, you know, in the, at that stage in the game as well, Mayo had the game turning into what they wanted to, and that was chaos. That's what they thrive on. They take you out of their comfort zone. They put you into a place where you don't want to be. And I think that's exactly what you described there in terms of Donegal just kind of being squeezed back gradually. And, you know, they had us in the rack there for a while when that happened. Like, there was a massive moment as well when Matthew Ryan was breaking on the ball and Murphy just somehow, I don't know how he did it, he managed to get a paw on the ball and turn it over. Like, it was an absolutely huge moment. Like, there was so many turnovers in the game as well. And, you know,
yeah, a lot of unforced, Jason, maybe we're not used to, you know, and really kind of basic passes. Whenever we seemed to slow down the play at all, there was a very uncharacteristic poor set of passes from quite a few players out there, which again, it's not like us. I was just saying to Ryan before, have you seen enough that we're kind of operating at the level we need to be to take out a big team? You know, and just the way we ended up defensively and that. And I don't want to keep going into the season it was, but there is some amount of games coming, and they're, as I say, people are out on their feet. And that game yesterday again, you know, you've a week to prepare. You've a week to prepare again. You know, it's a lot we're asking of these lads.
Yeah, no more than when Ryan was playing for the county as well. Like, teams under Jim Ryan, I'm sure you'd agree. Like, Jim loves to play the game in his terms. And for long stretches of that second half, Mayo made sure Donegal didn't get to do that. I think it was Kieran Whelan made the point in the Sunday game last night too that was quite valid. Like, Donegal never got the chance to get into that state where they were playing the game in their terms and slowing it down a bit and just gradually building up the play. And, you know, just Mayo kind of held all the chips at that stage. Like, and that's,
yeah, I think that probably came from Donegal not going that five, six, 7 points ahead, you know, and that probably would have happened maybe that it took one of them goal chances and a few drops short in the second half, and a few wider in the second half and a few 45 drops short and one hit. We just didn't get that 5, 6, 7 points ahead that we usually get. Then we can start to relax on the ball. Then we have more runners off the shoulder and breaking those lines and taking easy scores in. I think that we didn't get that. Then Mayo tagged on a score and kind of did chaos. It kind of just, right, maybe the game plan goes out the window. We just have to every man go for this here. And but like you said, Mayo's no bad team. Mayo's got some great players and they're season battled and they can play football, but they just, you just need to get teams ahead of teams at 5 or 6 points, then we can start playing it in our own terms. And I think when that happens, I think that's when Donegal are at their best.
Ryan, listen, I know you gotta go, you're going training soon, you're not like me and the J man here putting the feet up every night. You're still doing your thing for Bunkrata. You're a dangerous man in the full forward line yet. Tell me, I have a wee question for you. Horst Devlin on Smaller Fish there made a bit of a swipe. Let's say he's not Donegal's biggest fan. I made a bit of a swipe at Donegal, criticising the Ulster final celebrations and the bandstand and that and the trailer down in Donegal Town. What do you make of that? He was saying we won Ulsters and there was none of this carry on, good on. What do you make of them?
I think he's still a bit sore from his master plan last year. Coming to Derry, huh? I don't think he's ever going to get over that. It's a couple of swipes he's been at Donegal, you know.
He
done it before last year.
Yeah,
I think Wally loves having them on to get a rattle at Donegal. Wally loves that, I think, too.
I don't understand it.
But I think it's just sour grapes, you know.
I was kind of thinking,
why not celebrate something you work hard for all year, you know?
Whose business is that, you know, that he's criticizing?
The effort they put into won and lost the title, why should they not celebrate it whatever way they want?
No, 100%. Ryan, listen, have you got a shoot on there? I know Eamon McGee's got a few shuttles there for you to be doing. Hey, get ready for the championship. And you shoot on there, big guy. And we'll catch you down the tracks here. Hopefully get to watch you playing.
Let's see.
Good man.
All right, Jason.
That's Ryan Bradley there. Way off to do his training with Bunkrana. What a servant he was to Donegal. What a brilliant couple of years he had. And Jim, phase one. We're at phase two now, and we're going to take a wee ad break here and we'll be back with more with Jason Byrne here. We're going to talk about a wee bit more about the build up to Donegal Louth, and of course a couple of main talking points from the weekend. Back after this. The time is, what time is it? 7:32 here on Highland Radio. Thanks for coming back after those ad breaks. Joe Dex keeping me right here, and we're keeping the time right for everybody wherever you're at in the world. I know we have listeners all over the world, and we have a man actually just dialed in, and little did I know he is on another time zone, another part of the world. Kevin Riley, Kevin, welcome.
How are you, Brendan?
Thanks for joining us. I put a message out to you, Jason Burns on as well there, Kevin. I put a message on to you there to come on, give us a shout there, because no man knows Louth football like you, and you were telling me you're far afield at the minute, but you're keeping a close eye on things.
Yeah, like I'm in Toronto here, so I'm slightly closer to Donegal than probably all the Donegal folk in Vancouver. That seems to be the place that the people tend to go. But no, I'm in Toronto here. I'm here since last August, and I probably would have been here earlier only for I wanted to see out last year's championship with Louth. Obviously, at that stage, I was sports editor with the Drogheda Independent Group, so there was three papers in Louth. I was in the editor's chair with those and following Louth around the country. So it was a labour of love, and you know, last year it probably felt that you'd have to go a long way to better last year at the time, in the sense of getting through to an All Ireland quarter final, which for us was huge, because it was the first time since the quarter finals come in. And it was our longest championship since last winning the All Ireland in 1957. So, little did I know, I suppose, what was going to unfold this year. I flew home. I was home for 24 hours for the Leinster final. It was. I suppose when you've seen so many bad days, certainly wasn't going to miss one of the potentially good ones. So, keeping a close eye on it, and obviously still be in touch with Ger Brennan and a lot of the players. So, still across it.
Still across it, listen, no doubt, and you've built up some bank of knowledge, I suppose. And I want to ask you from a Louth perspective, Kevin, about the draw. But Jason, just go to you in terms of, you know, people, a mate from Galway was ringing me on the way up. He said, the last thing we want to do is come to Balbuffet. Nobody really wanted to come to Balbuffet, I suppose, when we're thinking about it from the opposition side. Jason, but what did you make of the draw when it came out? Because, again, and Kevin will tell us a bit more about this, Louth, I suppose, in terms of winning Leinster, beating Meath, and obviously the history that they made and all that, they definitely came into the group stage not maybe on form, but they did seem to look like they turned the corner, particularly in the comeback against Down, and of course their victory yesterday. So is there a kick in Louth, Jason, or what's your feeling about this game next week?
There's definitely a kick in Louth, Bryn. I think they probably suffered a big hangover from that Leinster final, probably in the literal sense as well, and deservedly so. But you know, like, I was at that game that Quaidan spoke about last year at Croke Park when Donegal and Louth played each other in the quarterfinals, and like, Louth asked serious questions at Donegal for large parts of that game until a goal from Owen Van Galler in the second half kind of put the tin hat in things. But like, Ger Brennan would have done massive work into winning that game against Donegal last year, and I expect no more than the same this weekend when they come to Balbuffet. Like, you know, now they're coming up as serious underdogs. They'll see this as a chance to take a massive scalp and a game where they have nothing to lose, really, because like, they've had the dream summer, as Quaven said, and winning that Leinster title. Like, you know, who would have thought it? Just around 6 weeks ago, like, who would have thought it? You know, it really, that has been the story of the championship, and it probably will still stand out as the story of the championship whenever Sam Maguire is resting somewhere at the end of July, you know. So like, they have so many great players, and it just, I'd say, just the celebrations after the Leinster title and everything else just took a lot out of the group. But they did battle again, they did go again, and like, they had to win that game against Clare at the weekend, and they did, and they got it out of the way, and they're here, and deservedly so. So like, you know, I still think Donegal will win, but I don't think, you know, everyone's just kind of dismissing Louth's chances here already since the draw this morning. And no more than yourself, I was getting texts off Galway people saying they were delighted they weren't coming to Balbuffet, but Louth will be delighted to come to Balbuffet. I'd say they'll absolutely fear nothing and give Donegal a massive test. They just have, like, the likes of Sam Mulroy, you know, and players like that are just among the best in the business. They really, really are. And Brennan's got a serious kick out of them since Mickey Hart left that time and laid a lot of the foundations for them. But Brennan's just brought them on again, and he's a really deep thinker of the game, really impressive guy, and he's no mug, and Louth will come and give this everything this Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, himself and Downey hitting 211 against Clare. Kevin, what's the feeling then? Because it's all right us saying here, be weary, you know, I don't think anybody really wanted to come to Balba Fakey. And what did you make of it when the draw come out in terms of we're away to Donegal? What was the feeling?
It wasn't a good draw to be had, really, in terms of progression. Like last year, drawing Cork was the favourable one, and the fact that you had a home game. But as I sort of was explaining to people, like, it's not as if we have a home venue, really. Like, it'd be in a scheme which, in theory, is a home venue and you have a reasonably good record in it, but it's not either at the same time, because it's not in our county. If you look at Down, like, who come second in the group Louth were in, they've drawn Galway at home. Like, that's a daunting draw, sort of, as well. And Louth's possibilities were Donegal, Kerry or Dublin. Now, if you had asked me yesterday evening, who I'd have looked for, and I sort of said it to a few people, it probably would have been the Dubs, given maybe last year's Leinster final, Louth were competitive with them. Yeah. They probably don't have the fearsome, well, they obviously don't have the fearsome look that they once had. The familiarity with Croke Park that Louth have, and obviously its proximity to home, which might have meant a big support going up the road. But again, you were really on a heightened to nothing with that too. The Donegal one is probably slightly more favourable to Kerry, not because Donegal are inferior to Kerry. I think Donegal's, to me, still all Ireland favourites. But the track down the road to Kerry now, and I suppose I was listening into this earlier on, there was maybe a lot of complaints. So Jim, we might have to get on to Jim's travel agent till we get a hotel up close to Donegal.
With the rally on, you could be struggling a bit, Kevin, you know.
Yeah, I heard about that too. I heard about that. A B&B might have to do, or else we get a caravan in Mullorn.
That's a few tents.
There was no easy draw. Donegal is what it is, trying to go into Ballybuffet and win. The only, I will say, comfort that you draw from it is we were quite competitive with Donegal twice last year, albeit Donegal were still comfortable winners. What was it, 5 points in Ballyshannon and 8 in Croke Park? Like, Kerry gave us 2 right trimmings in the last 2 years in Portlaoise. And like, if you're going down to Killarney and they're reeling sort of after the manner of the performance against Meath, whatever opportunity you have outside remote possible, you know, chance you have of maybe winning in Ballybuffet, I think going down to Killarney with all those variables probably would have been nigh on impossible. So, listen, there wasn't an easy draw to be had, and I'll be completely honest, like, Louth have had a very difficult year in terms of trying to get consistency and rhythm in the team, in terms of selection. Injuries has just been, it's you know, I've sort of never seen it like it, where you've been constantly missing players and players dropping in and out. And you were looking at the beginning of the year saying that having got Andy McDonald back and a couple of other players, even like the likes of Conor Brannigan and Bevan Duffy coming back, guys like that, that you had a panel of, it looked like on paper you could have named a 26 that were relatively interchangeable, and that it wasn't as if you were just trying to fill it out, maybe with young lads or inexperienced players. That hasn't been the case. Like, at various stages of the year, you've been missing maybe 5, 6, 7 nailed on starters for different reasons. And again, like, we just seem to be bleeding men. Like, the goalkeeper, Niall McDonald, went off. By all accounts, the knee didn't look great after the game. Craig Lennon sort of had a bit of a concussion. I'm led to believe Bevan Duffy was a nose break during the week, but I think there's a hamstring injury there too, or issue. Dermot Campbell, again, he's just been nursed through the year and is such a pivotal player for us. Andy McDonald, his year with Louth is probably out with the knee. So there was probably such a physical toll taken to try and win that Meath game. Obviously, along with the obvious come down from the celebrations. And then the other thing I'll say about this is Louth are not a top 8 team. Like, last year, they got a good draw and got to a quarter final. Like, if you actually look at the way Division 2, the sort of has been a yo-yo element between the teams coming down from Division 1 and then those getting promoted the following year. those 10 are nearly in an exclusive ban. Now, obviously, Meath have made somewhat of an impression during the year and into the Championship, and you will always get a like the likes of Cork beating Roscommon. There's the potential for those middling band of Division 2 teams to spring a surprise. But realistically, if you're selecting the top 8 on merit, none of them are in it. They're in Division 1 or else they're winning Division 2. And we're a bit off that. Probably coming second in the group would have been the most realistic expectation, because I don't think we were better than Monaghan, and it was always going to be, you were always going to be up against it, because like if you look on that first weekend, a lot of the teams that won on that first weekend, like I think the provincial champions obviously had a bad start across the board nearly to the All-Ireland series. Like there's a lot to be said for having maybe a month to plan for your first match in an All-Ireland series. You know, obviously you get to scope out who you could potentially be playing, but it's a case of getting a training block in, getting things sort of really worked out, getting players fit. And like, I'll put it to you this way, if you're not able to summon a performance after that month off where you can really drill down and figure out the reasons why you were beaten in your championship, in your provincial championship, then you're maybe, you know, not up to much in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's ultimately, like, we needed everything to go away against Monaghan. It didn't against Down. Slow start, but there's very little between Louth and Down, and probably they had every variable in their favour. Like, if back in the league match, Louth beat them by a point in Drogheda, again, that was home advantage. This time, Down were at home. They had the morale boost, obviously, of beating Clare, having had the sort of the couple of week layoff from their Ulster semi-final against Donegal. And Louth were sort of the walking wounded in that day as well, and still could have pipped them. So, you know, I don't sort of want this to sound like a roundabout ramble in a way, but really you've probably got to where you're going to get to. And if you look at who Down drew, like even had you come second, like Galway's not, you know, much more appetising than the three. You could have ultimately drawn, definitely.
Yeah, listen, it's one of those seasons. It takes so much, I think, out of squads, Kevin, and that's why when you really put the pin on your collar, you pick up a few injuries and you're in trouble. Just on that, Jason, you look at the weekend there. You know, from a weekend from weeks of craziness and up and down, really, you know, Cork, Louth, Monaghan, Donegal, Dublin, Tyrone, and Galway were all slight favourites, I think, good into the game. I think particularly Galway backs the wall, maybe against Armagh. I don't think generally there would be much on that. I mean, Meath was the big shocker. But apart from that, even though every one of those teams were tested to the very last, they did come through. So it was a kind of an unusual weekend. For was anything in there, Jason, stood out for you in terms of what we got to know about the teams that managed to get their victories?
Well, I was in cabin on Saturday night, Brendan, at the Galway Armagh game, and Galway it was literally a game of two halves. Like, but Galway's first half told us a lot about what they can do terribly, and the second half told us so much about what they can do well.
Yeah.
And how good they can actually be if they perform. Now, if they can produce 70 minutes of that, I think they'll be right back in it, because they fell 9 points behind in the first half. And it looked like it was game over. Ethan Rafferty nailed a 2.3, and they were 15 points to 6 behind.
Superhuman, this Rafferty, man. He's superhuman, isn't he?
Oh, Rafferty. Outrageous, Stevie. Like, he got 7 points and made some massive saves as well. Saved the first half penalty from Matthew Tierney. Did enough to put Rob Finnerty off the other one, and Finnerty blazed it over the bar. Now, but the Galway second half performance was outrageously good. Like, Cork Joyce must have been fuming at half time, I'd say. He tore strips off them, to be honest. But
Conroy comes on.
What's that?
Conroy comes on as well. It was unusual. He was kept back. You know, footballer of the year, taken off the last two games, and then, but you have him to bring in, which is vital in a game like that, particularly with our man control.
Yeah, and Porrick made that point after the game. Like, it was a risk to leave him off, but in the end, it was a masterstroke, because Armagh were just cleaning them out in the middle with Jason Duffy and Neil Grimley. Like, Neil Grimley was given his chance to start for Armagh as well, so he was eager to impress to kind of nail down his spot for the quarterfinals. But Conroy came on and absolutely changed the game, got a point. And then like they just the, some of the subs that came in. Cal Sweeney came on and got a point and then won the resulting kick out and played through Rob Finnerty for their second goal. That was a massive moment. And then Shane Walsh, like, he has his critics. He could blow hot and cold, but on Saturday night, he was absolutely red hot. He got 9 points in total and kicked the winner at the very end. Showed really nerve to put it over the bar. Kind of Kieran Moore's situation, except from a free, the hooter had gone. He was standing over the posts and he had to score for them to win and make sure they got through in third place, you know, without knowing what was going on in the Dublin Derry game. So that was a massive moment as well. Sean Fitzgerald at fullback was absolutely outstanding. Had to go off with a head injury early enough in the second half, so hopefully he's okay. And they did all this as well without Damien Comer, who looks like he's not going to play at the weekend for that trip to Down. He nicked a hamstring in training, so he's not going to make the trip to Park Esther, which is a big blow for them, but he still fancy them to just get about, just about get through that game. And I'm after getting a text here as well, Brendan, from Christina McFadden, a fan in Kelly Beggs. Her son plays for Donegal, so we better not slate him. the clues in the surname. So.
Yes, I get it. Be careful, be careful. Look, that's one of your homeboys as well. You got to look after him. Lads, brilliant wrap-up. Kevin, just a last word. You're not going to parachute in the Ball Buffet from Toronto, no?
I don't think so. Maybe, I suppose, further... Well, the only thing I'll say is, I was just listening to you earlier on, you were talking about tests further down the line. I actually have flights booked for the All-Ireland, so I'm fully expecting a loud win this weekend.
That's the kind of fighting talk. That's the way we. That's why you're on here, Kevin. I love it. Hey, listen, nobody's going to go down without a fight, hey, and we're looking forward to another big championship game in Ballybuffet at the weekend, lads, and can't wait to see it.
Absolutely.
That's it, lads. Kevin Riley out in Toronto and Jason Byrne, wherever you are, you're down about Athlone, are you, lad?
I'm down about Athlone, but I'm coming up home this weekend.
And you're missing Killy Beggs. How could you not?
I can't wait to get back to Killy Beggs. I'll be in Melly's for fish and chips on Friday, so that's a fact.
Melly's for fish and chips, there you go. There has to be a free fish and chip coming there now, Melly's.
you must be Jim's travel agent, Jason, if you're down in the Midlands. They were struggling for a hotel and what was it? They had to get one.
They actually stayed where I got married, Craven, would you believe me? So, I didn't pull any strokes, though. I'm not the travel agent.
You have enough on your plate, says you. Listen, Kevin Riley, Jason Byrne, listen, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Anytime, DB.
Top man. Really appreciate that. We're going to take a wee ad break, and I'll be back with you with a few words from James Daly. Yes, folks, welcome back to the DL debate this evening. We're just waiting on James Daly there. He's doing a bit of coaching. Of course, Donegal ladies open up their championship campaign. They had a tough Ulster final defeat to Armagh earlier in the season and a long layoff to their group stages. The three teams in the group, it was Galway, Tipperary and Donegal. So, you know, Galway obviously in the All-Ireland final last year and, you know, one of the main contenders. And as we know, Donegal are building a team that's in transition again. So listen, it was a difficult first game, but we're playing Tipperary next away. It's this Saturday, but we've already beaten Tipperary in the league. So we're going to hear just a few words from James just to see how the pre-season in terms of championship has gone and what he made of the game at the weekend. Is he on this? There he is, Joe Dex. James, are you there?
I'm here, yeah. How's it going?
James, thanks for joining us. I know there's a wee switch in training for you there, so you just dropped in for a few minutes then. I really appreciate you making time for it. We're always here in the DL debate looking to, you know, promote the game and make sure, you know, we're behind the girls because there's always such an effort.
Yeah, I appreciate that, yeah.
Aye, listen, James, we all know the effort and the demands has gone up and up and up. But listen, was it always going to be a tough outing? I was saying just at Galway, you know, all our finalists last year, they're a team that's maybe tipped to win it. So was it going to be a difficult opener for your team?
Look, it was always going to be a difficult opener, Brent. We had a situation like where we're put in with one of the better teams in the country and then we're in with Tipperary as well. We look at where we've come from and now people might not be seeing it on the scoreboard, but we think we've made huge improvements. We've done a lot of work with the girls and there's massive improvement. Like, if you had said to me going in at half-time, you know, we'd have held Galway to three scores, I would look at, I'll take that all day long. The fact that we hadn't scored is the issue. We're struggling a wee bit with transition and, you know, when we get the ball up front, making the right decisions and things like that. But as I said before, it's a young team. We're only going to get better at these things, okay? And and it's all going to be practice on the training field and working on all these things to get us better when we get to that end of the pitch.
Yeah, and Jim, just on that, Jim, you're building, when you have a young team, we all know one championship, we see it everywhere, like experience is so vital, and when you're moulding a team like that, they have to take a few knocks to kind of build that character, to build that experience. So there's nothing about, that defeat. As you said, you'll know now in transition what we're going to work on. But we've beaten Tipperary already this year, so it's more of a reasonable, I suppose, a game to really drive for, to go and try and get a victory.
Yeah, of course. The experience, as you said, this experience is massive. And our experience is in our defence, Brent. And when we can turn the likes of Evelyn McGinley, Blandon McLaughlin, Shauna McFadden, girls you got there who are experienced players, they've been playing a long time, and that's why we're so strong. When we go across the halfway line, all our girls are 19, 20, some of them are 18, 20, 21 years old. So it's a process, okay? Now, we're going up against Tipperary next weekend, them in the league, in Lifford, and we want to, we want to take what we've gotten in the last 8 weeks since season, and we've looked at them, and they've obviously gotten better as well. So it's up to us now. We need a big game out of the girls. We need everybody to do as well on the defensive day against Galway. We will really Tipperary. Then getting the transition better, we think we can get it better. Okay, Tipperary would be more of a team on the road, but we take it as it comes. We're planning on going to Tipperary Friday night and playing the game Saturday afternoon, and we're hoping to come out of the victory.
Yeah, and James, just on that, people have been moaning, travelling and Donegal and that, but when there's so few games now, a big break between the Ulster Championship final and this game, is there something about being away, maybe building that wee bit of a bond that's good for the girls? Because sometimes you're training and you get your meal and you're away, you maybe don't get enough time to maybe interact, but in many ways a game like this, away trip's not a bad thing.
100%, Brian, and it does build a wee bit of camaraderie with the girls going away for a night out, a night over. And we've done a few of these already, and it does really work out well. And you're spending the night with them, and you're having a bit of crack, and it definitely does build a wee bit of camaraderie. And it's something that's very, very important. I said before, we've brought six minors into this squad now as well. So we were young, and now we've brought six more young girls in. But look at it'll be good for them to be loading them into the panel as well, and then so when they come next year, it's not such a big
Yeah, first class, Jim. Listen, keep up the good work, and all the girls pull together, and you'll get to where you need to go in terms of goals. So listen, I wish you all the best in your game away to Tipperary this week.
Brian, appreciate your support. Okay, thank you very much.
Fair play. That's James Daly there. Donegal Ladies Manager. Fair play to him. They're away to Tipperary this week. We're wishing them all the best. That's it for the DL Debate this evening, folks. Thanks very much to Joe Dex for producing this. The lovely Trudy's out here, along with some other buck, I don't know who he is, but it was your sidekick or whoever he is there. Of course, the excellent Monday night sessions is coming up, and of course, Paul will be putting out the beats along with Trudy. Stay tuned for that. That's bye for me from now. I'll speak to you all next week.